once upon a time, in a land where people no longer content with just watching football, decided to take their watching to a higher level. And thus, fantasy football was born, and has since grown into a massive beast with an insane amount of varieties. PPR, standard, IDP, with points off the bench bonuses. But during the growth of the industry, many have been left in the wake, lost and confused. Is this you? Have you always had an interest but feel too far behind to join in the fun? Well, fear not, my friend. We here at Fantasy Football University have made sure we have the very best teachers ready to get you not only on the same page, but well ahead of your competition and hoisting your championship trophy into the sky. If you are tired of missing out on the fun, class is now in session.
Everybody to the FFU, the Fantasy Football University. This is the part four of our player primer. And this time we're covering the AFC South and the AFC West. Boys, how excited are we for this one?
Well, I get to talk about Pat Mahomes. I get to talk about the Colts. I get to talk about the Raiders. Shit. I get to talk about Denver. I'm excited. I get to talk about the Chiefs.
Look, all I know is you didn't mention the Texans when you're throwing that out there, the Titans. My boy, you know who I'm talking about, George. Who am I going to talk about the most on the Titans?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. You're going to give us a deep dive on Corey Davis.
You know it. So I'm so excited to do this fourth and final installment on our primer. I'm really excited because Thursday night we were just talking about it. Two of the teams we're going to be talking about tonight are playing actual football this actual Thursday. We actually made it.
And you want to know what, Jason? The first team we're going to cover actually plays Thursday night.
That's a fact. We've got Houston on the slate first. For the receiving core, we got Brandon Cooks. We got Will Fuller. We got Randall Cobb. We got backing them up. We got Kenny Stills, DeAndre Carter, and then Kiki QT rounding them out. In the tight end position, we got Darren Fells at the start, Jordan Akins on the other side, and then Cahale Waring on the backup there. And then Deshaun Watson himself, and then A.J. McCarron from old Alabama. Like, man, that guy's still sticking around there too. And for running backs, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we got David Johnson, we got Duke Johnson, and we got Buddy Howell. So what are you guys thinking about this lineup? Who are we starting? Who are we sitting? Who are we grabbing off the waiver wire? What are we thinking about this team?
So a couple of the guys that I really like going into the season is one of them is Brandon Cooks. Like he's a wide receiver that's been he's been around the block. He's played for some of the absolute best quarterbacks in NFL history. He's played with Drew Brees. He's played with Tom Brady. Now, I wouldn't say best in history, but he played with Jared Goff, who's okay. Now he gets Deshaun Watson. Like that dude, I've been saying it in the offseason since he signed with or since he was traded to the Texans. Like he's been one of those guys that just he produces 1,000-yard seasons, and he gets to play with some of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Like his quarterback tree, some wide receivers should absolutely be jealous of. Another guy I like is Will Fuller. We've seen Will Fuller. Mike says never sit Will Fuller. And as long as he's healthy, you don't sit Will Fuller. Why? Because he's 150 yards and 2 touchdowns waiting to happen on any given Sunday. So he's got weak winning ability.
Floor. That's his floor. Like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns is the guy's floor when he stays healthy, it seems. Like there's most games you get depressed if he doesn't get you that third tutty, you know? Like, like come on, man, where's that third? You got this, Will.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with him is health. Same thing with Brandon Cooks. Like he, one hit and he could be in concussion protocol for 6 weeks. But they're coming into the season healthy. Deshaun Watson is still one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. David Johnson is still one of the top 32 running backs in the NFL. Darren Fells is just an okay tight end. But no, seriously, like I expect David Johnson to have a huge workload. Bill O'Brien did not trade for David Johnson to not use him. especially knowing that he traded away DeAndre Hopkins and a second round pick, I believe. So they're going to use David Johnson. He's going to have a heck of a workload. As long as he stays healthy, he will finish as a top 12 running back. And then you got behind him is Duke Johnson. He's a guy I'm interested in too. Like David Johnson, A, hasn't been healthy for full seasons in the last couple of years. And Duke Johnson is a guy I still believe in. Coming out of Miami, he was a workhorse in Miami. He's never been given the opportunity to be a workhorse in the NFL. But he is super consistent in PPR leagues, and he's somebody that I definitely don't mind having on my roster.
Yeah, so George covered a whole lot of everything I wanted to cover. I especially wanted to talk about Duke Johnson, mostly because David Johnson hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, and there's nobody behind Duke Johnson. Buddy Howell sounds like a Gilligan Island guy. Right, and there's literally nobody behind that, so they don't have anybody back there. So if David Johnson is hurt, Duke Johnson is all of a sudden in for a large role, and I guess injury prone is what I want to talk about on this team. It all looks good. It all looks like it could start out well, but you've got guys that haven't been able to make it through weeks, like the first couple of weeks, let alone seasons. Brandon Cooks has had concussions. Randall Cobb has had his seasons cut short with injuries. Kenny Still is not the pinnacle of health. Kiki QT can't stay on the field. Will Fuller is a stud when he's on the field, but he's almost never on the field. This team could be very good and good for your fantasy if they get away from the injury bug, but I don't know. It's just, you know, how many years in a row. So, like, Deshaun Watson's value could be super high at the start of the season, but, man, that could plummet really fast. He might be able to pick up some of it with his legs, but Bill O'Brien hasn't allowed that to happen the last couple of years. It looks like they've pulled him back from running. So while I like these pieces, you're going to have to get them late in order to be comfortable with them just because of the risk that's involved.
Yeah, I think the guy going there earliest is David Johnson. And I think that's large in part due to the fact that running backs this year just seem to be flying off draft boards. So these other guys, you know, you can get in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round. So I'm comfortable with that. Like, nobody's relying on Brandon Cooks or Will Fuller to be their wide receiver one or two. Typically, that's like their third wide receiver, their flex. Somewhere along those lines. And those are the type of guys I want personally in those positions. I want somebody who has, you know, weak winning ability in my flex or in as my third wide receiver.
Well, one thing about it, they definitely stacked up on a bunch of people that can run out of the slot pattern. And so, because I swear to God, every one of these guys is a typical slot receiver. I mean, all the way down to Kiki Kuti, he's another one that's, I mean, all these guys are fantastic out of the slot. So it'll be curious to see how they all do out of the different dynamic positions and everything like that. Am I the only one who's tried the jerk move of trading Duke Johnson to people, hoping that they think it's David Johnson?
Yes. Yes, you are.
But you're not alone.
Good, good, good. Good. I think that's another "Am I an asshole?" segment, right, Jason? We can put that on there. I keep trying to send people trades that are for David Johnson value, but I'm sending it with Duke Johnson, and I'm hoping.
No, I yes, you are an asshole.
That reminds me of a few years ago where people were sending the Arizona tight end David Johnson in trades, yep. And people were, yep, accepting it, thinking they were getting David Johnson, the running back.
The best one I ever saw was when the news came out. I can't remember who it was. Justin Blackman. I had a buddy trade Justin Blackman for, I think it was Calvin Johnson at the time or something like that, and thought he was getting ahead. And then he got the news about 10 minutes later that he was out for the year, drug suspension and everything like that. That was a really good one, because that was like, it was almost common knowledge, but not quite. And he just didn't get the news yet. Man, it was pretty funny.
That's a great tip. Always, when you get offered a trade that may seem too good to be true, always check the news real quick. Like, Google the guys you're getting in a trade right before you actually make the trade.
Yeah, always. Always double check that stuff. Be very fast about that too, because if you're anything like me, I'll do it. So
They don't call you dirty jobs for no reason.
You don't get that nickname just sitting at home doing nothing, George. I promise you. Next up, we got Indianapolis. We've got for the receivers there, we got T.Y. Hilton still sticking around. We got Zach Pascal coming off the IR from last year, and Paris Campbell, coincidentally, also same IR. They drafted up Michael Pittman. They've got Ashton Doolin, and then they've got Desmond Payton. And then in the tight end position, we got Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox. And then on the other, or on the backup of them, we got Noah Togiai. And then for the quarterback this year, we got Phillip Rivers. He's backed up by Jacoby Brissett. They also picked up Jacob Eason this year. And then for running back right now, for time being, Marlon Mack is your starter. And then he's backed up by Jonathan Taylor, backed up by Nyheim Hines, who will probably still be catching passes from Phillip Rivers, and then Jordan Wilkins. What about this team, guys? This team's got a lot of exciting names. They got a lot of depth. I'm already pretty well sold three deep on their running back core. What do you guys think about this team?
Jason, I'll let you take this one.
All right. So I think Jonathan Taylor is going to take the job quick. I don't think it's going to be as slow roll as some people predict. Jonathan Taylor's talent level far exceeds Marlon Mack, and maybe they want to slow roll him into the league a little bit. But I think it'll be apparent behind that great offensive line pretty quickly how special Jonathan Taylor is as a running back. And Marlon Mack's probably going to get less and less. Starting week two, week three, week four, I don't see it stretching half a season like people were predicting. Some people were predicting earlier in the season. A guy I really like is Paris Campbell. Last year it wasn't that great. He had, like Mike said, he came off the injured reserve. He was injured towards the end of the year. So not a great rookie season, but he's bigger than T.Y. Hilton. He ran the 40 faster than T.Y. Hilton. He's a big, fast guy. And if he can catch on, I think he's going to be a great target. Michael Pittman, word out of camp is that he's playing pretty well. He's behind T.Y. Hilton right now, but I can see him being on the other side with Zach Pascal taking a seat. Just tall and talented, can catch everything. And then I want to switch over to Jack Doyle, who a couple of years ago with Andrew Luck had a pretty decent season. They have Mo Alie-Cox, who's a big dude, but hasn't been able to get it done on the field. I see Jack Doyle being a late round streamer tight end option for those of you who don't get one of the big three early.
I tend to agree with most of what you said. I still like T.Y. Hilton. I think he will be over 1,000 yards this season. I think he'll probably finish right around 5 or 6 touchdowns. I do like Paris Campbell. I was high on him last year coming out the draft. I really, really liked him. They spent a second round pick on him. So they're clearly invested in Paris Campbell. They also spent the second round pick on Michael Pittman. My issue with Michael Pittman is no preseason. It's going to take a while for him to get acclimated to NFL game speed, NFL game corner covers, and all that. So he's somebody, out the gate, I'm completely fading. I disagree on the Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor assessment. I think Marlon Mack is I think he's a good running back. Jonathan Taylor is a much better running back. I completely agree there. I'm not saying he's not. But this team really does like Marlon Mack. I don't think by week four, I think what we're going to see this year is the same thing we've seen with Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray up in Tennessee. It's going to be a full-blown running back by committee between those two. They're probably going to split 50-50. Just about the entire year. And unfortunately for Jonathan Taylor drafters, you're going to be disappointed all year with his production unless Marlon Mack gets hurt. The team is really high on Marlon Mack. They're saying all the right things about him. They are starting with Marlon Mack to begin the season. The coaches already said he's going to be highly involved in the offense. I don't see them going to Jonathan Taylor and giving him the full workload there. Not this year. I think it's going to be one of those things where for fantasy purposes, we're absolutely going to hate that situation because clearly, much like DeMarco Murray was not nearly as good as Derrick Henry, Marlon Mack is not going to be as good as Jonathan Taylor, but that coaching staff is just not going to care. They're just going to ride those two as a 1-2 punch versus allowing Jonathan Taylor to take the full workload. As far as Phillip Rivers goes, I mean, he's Phillip Rivers. He's behind the best line he's ever played. If he gets time in the pocket to throw the ball, you know, I think he could be a top 16, 17 quarterback. I think he's an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. So I like the pass catching options on this team. So that's my assessment of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, you know, the Mo Alie-Cox is a guy I'm not minding grabbing late. I feel like he can get it done. He has proven in the past that he has issues, but those seem like coachable issues. And I feel like with Jack Doyle's injury history and stuff like that, they've probably worked on a lot of that with him because they got to be able to sub him in there. But the rest of that is spot on. I think Michael Pittman, he's a guy that's going to be coming on, and I think he's going to be coming on hot. I have to lean more towards you, George. I think Marlon Mack will get most of the work this year as far as the RB1. I think they'll get Jonathan Taylor in. Now, he is a dominant back, but I don't think he's a good fit for this system so much, but more so once Phillip Rivers starts making his way out. He's really not a good running back supporting guy. He likes to pass it to the running back, which Jonathan Taylor is fully capable of, but I just feel like it'll be more of the veteran show. I think they'll go more with the talent there. Next up, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so for our receivers there, we got DJ Chark leading it off. Chris Conley on the other side, backed up by Keelan Cole, LaVisca Chenault, Colin Johnson, and Dede Westbrook. Tight end, we got Tyler Eifert making another appearance for a couple of games, backed up by James O'Shaughnessy, Tyler Davis. Quarterback, we've got Gardner Minshew, backed up by Jake Luton. And then James Robinson at running back, Divine Ozigbo, blah, 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 blah. And Chris Thompson at the third spot, and Rakeel Armstead out with COVID. What do you guys think about this team? I like the fantasy value. I don't like the team. What do you guys think about it?
I think there's some fantasy value to be had here, to be honest. I'm not expecting this team to be very good. They've traded away some key defensive players the last couple of years, Calais Campbell, Jalen Ramsey. I think they're doing a full-blown Miami Dolphin type rebuild down there in Jacksonville. I think they're going to let Gardner Minshew just fling the ball, run the ball, whatever he wants to do. They're just going to let him have at it because I don't think he's going to be the quarterback of the future there. I think they're tanking for Trevor is what I think is going on. James Robinson, I looked him up earlier. He's from Illinois State, I believe it is where he's from. Yeah, Illinois State. He was, and it's Illinois State. I totally get that. But he was actually a really good running back at Illinois State. He had over 175 touches two consecutive years. He put up numbers there. It's a small college. Clearly the competition wasn't the same as, you know, the five powerhouse conferences. He's a running back who can get the job done. But if you listen to the beat reporters in Jacksonville, like, they've been saying since they cut Leonard Fournette, even before they cut Leonard Fournette, like, James Robinson has looked like the best running back in all of camp. So he's looked better than Rockwell Armstead, who reports are the coaches are falling out of favor with. So like when we did our waiver show earlier today, his ownership percentage is so low. And he's a starting running back. Like in a 16-team league, I drafted James Robinson last night in the seventh round. Like that's in a 16-team league to get a starting running back in round seven is absolutely insane. Especially with a bunch of guys who, you know, have an idea of what the hell's going on. So
yeah, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy I'm excited about. I like DJ Chark. Another guy that I'm super excited about, and I want to get Jason's opinion on him, is LaVisca Chenault. He's a guy that can use all over the place.
So the deal with Chenault is, you know, injured in college. If not for that, we'd be talking about him up with some of the big boys that got drafted in the first round. Chenault's got all the talent in the world. It's a similar situation to everybody, all the other, to like Michael Pittman. I really wish they had a full preseason because I think Chenault would be one of those guys. He's going to be a guy who runs reverses, line him up as a running back and then flex him out wide from the running back position. Like they can, he's a guy that could be a gadget. He's really, really talented. And the tough part again is he's a really late flyer only because he didn't have any preseason to show what he could do on the field. He's one of the guys I really liked once he was drafted, and this COVID thing really screwed up like the beginning of his career. But there's other guys I want to talk about, and the reason I want to talk about them is because this team's defense is god awful.
Yes.
And what does that do for fantasy? Makes you throw the ball. Gardner Minshew is going to throw the ball everywhere, and that might not be great for Gardner because I don't see him at like a 60-65% completion rate. It's going to be between 50-55%. If I'm one of these wide receiver owners, I don't care about that so much because the balls are going to come their way a whole lot. So there's going to be value outside of DJ Chark in the wide receiver position. It's going to be about picking each week which one is that guy. But D.D. Westbrook is still a talented guy, and maybe he could get it done. But the guy I really want to talk about, we talk about James Robinson, Mike butchered Ozigbo's last name. Chris Thompson is the guy I want to talk about because when he's healthy, he's very talented. Gruden knows how to use him, and they're going to be in such negative game scripts that I see him on the field a lot more than you'd think he'd be on the field. So, you know, James Robinson is a good guy for a start of a game until they get down by 20 points in the first quarter. And then it's going to be a lot of Chris Thompson on the field, either pass protecting or going out to receive a pass here and there from Gardner Minshew. And then mentioning Minshew one more time, you know how you know Gardner Minshew is your quarterback all year? Your backup is Jake Luton. Who? So,
and there's no other quarterback back there. Nah. Like it's Minshew and Luton, and that's it.
Tyler Eifert's interesting because that guy, all he did is catch touchdowns in Cincinnati, that and break his leg, or his back. I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was, he got broke.
I think it was both.
So, you know, talented guy. Wish he could stay healthy. It's another one of those guys early in the season for spot starts if you don't have a tight end. But you know, I'm excited only because this team won't be able to defend anyone. So guys like Chris Thompson could be big, especially if you miss out on if you're at the back half of the first round and you miss out on some of the really talented running backs, and maybe you draft a wide receiver instead and you miss out on the running back sweepstakes altogether. Chris Thompson's are those kind of guys that you need to pick up if you're running zero running back.
Hey, Jason.
Sir.
Have you ever looked at sportsinjurypredictor.com?
I have not.
So I just typed in that website and I looked up Tyler Eifert. Without typing it in, what do you think the chance of injury in 2020 is for Tyler Eifert on a scale of 0% to 100%?
I'm going to say, so this is probably going to be high because it's probably slightly over 50%, but I'll say 80%.
I'm guessing, I was going to guess 76%.
What if I told you you were both wrong and you weren't even close?
Is it like 99%?
You are so in the ballpark now. It is 96%.
Wow.
They predict a 96% chance for him to get injured. His injury risk is considered high. They have all the injuries he's ever suffered on here, and I'll just read through a couple of these. I don't want to read through them all. ankle fracture, back vertebral bulging disc, knee strain, lower back lumbar strain, back bruise, ankle ligament tear, head cranial contusion, grade 1, cervical neck stinger, elbow tear, shoulder labrum tear, shoulder tear. Like, yeah, let's just stay away from Tyler Eifert.
That might be a guy who needs to retire.
You think?
We're going to throw him in with Jordan Reed.
Yeah, yes. And Sterling Shepard, and they all just need to go to dinner together and have like champagne and just call it a career.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Kyle Eifert. I know why Jason likes him. Well, God, was it 4 or 5 years ago? Jason picked Tyler Eifert up off the waiver wire. And he, all the dude did was go out and fucking crush it that year, go out and catch touchdowns every single week. Jason was so happy that he ended up picking up Tyler Eifert. And so he's got a soft spot in Jason's heart. You know how it is like when you pick somebody up and they help you win something? Yeah. Like, you forever have that soft spot in your heart for him. That's how Jason feels about Tyler Eifert.
Tyler Eifert got me a championship the year he had 13 touchdowns.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my.
Jason and I were talking about him. I thought about picking him up off the waiver wire, but I liked my tight end. So I told Jason, you go ahead and pick him up. You pick him up. So he did, and he just crushed it that year.
The only time I've ever drafted Tyler Eifert is when it was when I backed up Zach Ertz, and that's so I could name my team Ertz When I Fart. So
now here's the thing about Tyler Eifert. Everybody was in love with him after 2015 because 52 catches, 615 yards, but again, 13 touchdowns. And everybody drafted him super high in 2014 and got 3 catches for 37 yards.
Yeah. Oh, man. And basically, that's his career stat since then as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason just read off his numbers from 2016 to current.
To current years. Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay. So, moving on, we'll get to the Titans of Tennessee. We've got on the offense there, we've got Corey Davis. We got A.J. Brown. We got Adam Humphries in the slot. They're backed up by Cody Hollister and Khalif Raymond. At the tight end position, we got Jonnu Smith, McCoyle Pruitt, Anthony Firkser, and Geoff Swaim. And then at the quarterback position, we got Ryan Tannehill coming back for some more, and he's backed up by Logan Woodside. And the running back, of course, we got Derrick Henry. He is backed up by Darrington Evans and Cenarize Perry and Kerry Blazing Game. What do you guys think about this team? There's not a whole lot of depth here, but the starters I'm kind of liking a little bit.
So I'm going to defer to Jason on this one. He's actually going to go into a huge deep dive right now on Kerry Blazing Game.
But yes. I was going to talk about Corey Davis.
Okay. Corey Davis is not Kerry Blazing Game, Jason.
He's not. He and never will be. I've asked his mom, and they said no. So Corey Blazing Game, he's a fullback. No, I don't know. He was a fullback. I don't. He came from Minnesota as a free agent.
That's all you know, right? That's all you got, right?
Or he signed from Minnesota to college. I don't know. He's a rookie. We're done with people's jonesing all over again.
He went to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. As a full-time starter, he had 96 carries for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, which really isn't bad. He was also a pass-catching back, catching 25 balls for 320 yards and a touchdown.
Why are we talking about that guy?
He's actually got some skills. That's why we're talking about him. I can see him moving up this depth chart. D'Artagnan Evans has not been very impressive. Cenarize Perry is just a guy. So is Kerry Blazing Game, but he's actually somebody I do kind of like. But that's what we're talking about. But anyway, Jason, go ahead with your love for Corey Brown. The floor is yours.
Corey Davis. Yeah, no. So
yeah, Corey Davis.
I am still waiting for Corey Davis to shine. You're getting him so late. It is a contract year for Corey Davis. Especially in Dynasty, I'm happy to pick him up because even if he leaves Tennessee, he can only go to a better situation than what he's had over the last several years with Mariota. What I do like about it this year is he's had an off season with Tannehill, even though it's been contracted due to COVID. He's actually played with Tannehill versus playing with Mariota in the off season. Tannehill and AJ Brown both got they got chemistry last year playing with the twos, right? They both played with the twos to start the camp. Go through preseason. They got chemistry. Corey Davis never got to play with Ryan Tannehill. So they didn't build up any chemistry after a whole nother year. I think maybe Corey Davis has a decent season. You know, he sniffed 1,000 yards a couple years ago. Where you're getting him, if he comes back and sniffs 1,000 yards, you're going to be happy. That's all I got to say. I'm not saying he go get him early. I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire. I'm not saying he's going to be Devontae Parker. But I'm saying where he's going right now, if you got close to 1,000 yards out of him, you'd be super happy. And that's well within like possible world where we live in. Now, the other guy I've had a crush on for a couple years, and George knows this too, is Jonnu Smith. I've been banging the drum for Jonnu Smith for a couple years. Seems like a couple of people in the fantasy industry are starting to pay attention. Jonnu Smith is poised for a really good season. He's not behind any tight ends this year like he was with Delanie Walker last year. He's fast, he's athletic, and he's got a quarterback that can actually find him over the middle of the field. So I really like Jonnu Smith. One guy I really wish never left Tampa, because he would be the perfect wide receiver for Tom Brady right now, is Adam Humphries. He's a good slot receiver who makes opportune catches and can make something out of nothing after he catches the ball. He's one of those type of receivers that Tom Brady really likes. And it would be really nice if he was within Tampa, but he decided to go to Tennessee and they don't use him. So, yeah, he's not worth anything. And then of course there's AJ Brown. Who can forget AJ Brown's season last year? Do you guys think he is poised for another season like last year, or do you think that was kind of a fluke and he's going to come back to earth a little bit?
I think with a full season of Ryan Tannehill, I think he can put up the exact same numbers. So I don't know if that is kind of like me pushing on the question or if I'm actually answering the question. He didn't have a full season with Ryan Tannehill last year and he put up amazing numbers. It would require Tannehill to be extremely efficient again this year. And for AJ Brown to have just an extremely amazing year again this year, which I'm not sure Tannehill will be that efficient again this year. So I think over the course of 16 games, he could put up those same numbers that he put up with Ryan Tannehill in, what, like 10 games last year?
Well, so I also think that AJ Brown or Ryan Tannehill was efficient because AJ Brown was efficient. You know, he turned a lot of what should have been 5 or 10, 15 yard passes into really long touchdowns, breaking tackles. And, you know, I don't know that you can count on that week in and week out with a player. And if you can, then he's destined for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So this is probably like this Tennessee Titans team. I think it's honestly, it's a perfect fit for Ryan Tannehill. Like it's not that Ryan Tannehill is some great, amazing quarterback, but he's not asked to do a whole lot in this offensive system. Like it doesn't take a lot to turn around and hand the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times a game, right? It doesn't take a whole lot to hit Jonnu Smith at the tight end position a whole lot. It doesn't take a lot to throw the ball up to Corey Davis and allow him to, or not Corey Davis, I'm sorry. Jason wishes that's what was happening. It doesn't take a whole lot to throw the ball up to AJ Brown and let him go get it with his God-given ability. The defense is an amazing defense, like, and they just got better by adding what's his name from Seattle. I'm drawing a blank.
Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not asking a whole lot from him, and the defense is an amazing defense, and they just added Jadeveon Clowney to the defense to make it even better. So it's a well-coached team. It's a very solid team that relies on the run and relies on their defense. They do have some offensive talent, as Jason mentioned, in A.J. Brown. Corey Davis, I think he's talented. I mean, he was a first-round pick in the NFL, right? He dominated in college. The guy is talented. As much crap as I give him, he's a talented guy. And the knock was, well, you know, he's always had Marcus Mariota as his quarterback. Well, now he's got Tannehill. Tannehill is making A.J. Brown look like a stud. So maybe the competition level is just too much for Corey Davis at this point. I don't know. Like, he's never had a 1,000-yard season. He's never had a 900-yard season. He's never had a season where he's put up more than 4 touchdowns. Like, and this is going into his fourth year. He's got 6 total career touchdowns. He's going into his fourth year. He's never had a 900-yard receiving campaign, even though he does got a campaign where he was targeted 112 times. So it's not like they're not giving him the ball and giving him the opportunity. It's just for some strange reason, it's not coming together. I don't know what it is, but this is a very good team. And I think Ryan Tannehill is the perfect quarterback for this scheme. That's why I kind of like Tannehill here. And Jason already talked up Jonnu Smith and Adam Humphries, and I'm not going to go much further on this team. I think we've pretty much hit all the points on the Tennessee Titans here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've got grit. They've got a lot of good things going on there. Basically, yep, I'm getting and the thing about Corey Davis is you're getting a wide receiver one, and in some of these leagues, man, he's undrafted. You know, I mean, he's available on waivers right now in a lot of leagues. So go check it out. I mean, like I said, a wide receiver one value is hard to beat. So we'll move on to my boys in the West. We got the best action-packed, best league. Well, okay, so we're okay here. We got the Broncos and the Chiefs, and then we also have to talk about the Chargers and the Raiders. So we got on the Broncos. We got at the wide receiver position. We got Cortland Sutton. We got Jerry Jeudy. We got Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick backing them up is Tyree Cleveland and KJ Hamler. Tight end position. We got Noah Fant. We got Nick Vinette. We got Jake Butt. And then at the other end of things, we got Albert Okwuegbunam. I was told by a Mizzou fan that we just call him Albert OK, he said. And that's what we called him back when this man, Drew Locke, was throwing him touchdowns in Missouri by the dozen. He just loved throwing him touchdowns down there. And he's backed up by Jeff Driscoll. And then we got Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, and Royce Freeman as the running backs. I know I'm excited about the Broncos this year, although I don't have as high expectations for Drew Locke as everybody else seems to. But I do like the direction that they're at least going. We're one quarterback away from being just super great.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you. Did you hear the news about Von Miller?
I did, man. Yeah, that's rough. I have him in almost every single IDP league, and looks like he's out for the season already on the last play of practice of all plays. Like, yeah. Oh, what a bummer.
It sucks losing these starting, you know, studs. Literally, like Von Miller is a stud.
Dude, what he does in the huddle. Yeah, what that man does in the huddle is so much more than anything. Like, he's just such a good leader. Like, oh, that was a huge hit. Von Miller being out hurts a lot.
Yeah, it does. I think because Von Miller is going to be out, like, the defense is going to be taking a huge step back. And I think that will actually be good for Drew Locke. And the reason I say that is the defense won't be as good. So for fantasy purposes, it will give him the opportunity to have to throw the ball more. I'm lukewarm on Jerry Jeudy. I think he's actually a lot better than Cortland Sutton. And I know some people disagree with that take, and that's fine. But I think Jerry Jeudy is an absolute alpha wide receiver. I don't believe Cortland Sutton is an alpha wide receiver, but for this year, I think I'd rather have Cortland Sutton than Jerry Jeudy, just because no preseason, no OTAs, no rookie OTAs, you know, just they missed so much in camps due to COVID that I think he's just going to be behind the eight ball to start. And then you got the running backs, Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin is going to be the clear-cut starter. They didn't pay him to come in and sit on the bench. They paid him to come in, run the ball. He's actually a better pass catcher than he is a runner. So I think that's going to eat into what Lindsay does. Lindsay really wasn't the greatest pass catcher, if I'm not mistaken. I think they used Freeman a lot more as their pass catcher than Philip Lindsay. So I struggled to see where
Philip Lindsay was their pass catcher.
Was he? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So let me say this. He was year one, and last year, for whatever reason, they didn't do it a lot. They didn't throw Philip Lindsay the ball a lot, but we saw year one, he could do it. Yeah. So I couldn't tell why they dropped Philip Lindsay down and tried to force Royce Freeman in last year.
They did that because Royce Freeman was a high draft pick, a third round draft pick, and Philip Lindsay was undrafted.
Right. So, I mean, that just
value on that draft pick.
That just seems like, you know, I don't know, sunk cost, right? You know, you sunk a third round pick. Don't make it worse by playing him. Yeah. So, You know, looking at the team, they have talent. I think it's future talent. You know, KJ Hamler is going to be something special, but not this year, maybe, or at least at the beginning of the year. Cortland Sutton, I really do like as a player, but again, I do think Jerry Jeudy's going to be the number one there eventually. And honestly, I think that's good for Cortland Sutton, because if we're saying, if George, like you're saying, if he's not an alpha, well, that's fine. Jerry Jeudy can be an alpha and Sutton can be a beta. And like, yep. Jerry Jeudy can take all the coverage and Sutton can catch all the touchdowns. That's not a bad thing for him. Drew Lock, I'm with Mike a little bit. I think, you know, they're penciling him in for a lot of passing yards and a lot of touchdowns because he has talent around him. We got to see a big step up from Drew Lock in order for that to happen. You know, you have Jeff Driscoll behind you, so it's not like anybody's going to push you this year. But they really are a quarterback away from being a really decent team. So if Drew Lock can grow into what everybody's hoping he can be, like, they could be a good team this year. But
I'm they not, have all the talent in the world around him to make him successful.
Yeah, so they did that, right? They got a young guy and they're trying to help him with talent.
I mean, you look at it, Cortland Sutton was a second round pick. Jerry Jeudy, a first round pick. Noah Fant was a first round pick. Like, Philip Lindsay was undrafted, but, you know, he's a decent player. Melvin Gordon, you know, coming over from the Chargers is a good player. Drew Lock himself was a second round draft pick. Like, so they've spent a lot of draft picks and a lot of early draft picks and free agent money to build this offense. So they're hoping to get a return on their money. I'm not ready to write Drew Lock off yet. It's only his second season. He only took over, Mike, you can probably correct me if I'm wrong here. He took over like midway through last season. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was right towards the end, actually. I think he got 5 games in.
Yeah, so I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of starting experience to begin with. But I think this is a team that is going to grow. It's absolutely possible he takes a step forward. How big of a step forward that will make, you know, the ownership and the GM and all them happy is to be determined. But there's definitely a lot of talent and a lot of high draft picks and a lot of free agent money spent on this offense. So there's no excuse for Drew Lock not to have, you know, a decent season.
Yeah, I would say if it were me, I would chalk it up as a loss if he doesn't come out of the gate and just shine and then tank and then go next year. And then you'd see the Broncos be pretty formidable.
Well, so and that's the thing. Like, and that's the reason why I thought the Patriots would not pursue a free agent quarterback and let Stidham just run the year with Stidham to see what they have in Jared Stidham. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either Drew, and I'm going to revert back to Drew Lock now, either Drew Lock is going to succeed and the Broncos have their quarterback of the future on the roster, or he's going to bust and they'll be able to draft the quarterback of the future next year. Because we all know Jeff Driscoll is not the quarterback of the future for this team.
Oh, come on. Come on.
You can put that down as a hot take if you want.
The hot take that Driscoll will not be the quarterback one this season or next season.
Yeah, he's not the quarterback of the future for the Broncos.
Or for anybody, for that matter.
Yes.
We've got maybe some XFL team when The Rock takes it over. We got next up the Chargers out of Los Angeles. We've got the receivers over there. We got Keenan Allen. We got Mike Williams. We've got Jalen Guyton. And then we got Joe Reed, Jason Moore, and KJ Hill backing them up at the tight end position. We got Hunter Henry coming back. We got Virgil Green coming back for some more. They're backed up by Steven Anderson and Donald Parham. And then quarterback, we got Tyrod Taylor. We got Justin Herbert backing him up. And then Easton Stick at the final piece there. Running backs, we got Austin Eckler. We got Justin Jackson. And we got Joshua Kelly. Man, guys, I'm liking this lineup too. This is pretty good players here. What are we thinking about these guys, Jason?
So it's one of those, it's a mile wide but an inch thick, right? Like, so Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, great talent. Joe Reed and Jason Moore, who? Right,
hey,
Jalen.
Hey. Don't be smirching my my cousin Joe.
You know, so Jalen Guyton, I mean, that's a guy who's going to be on the field in three wide receiver sets, right? Or KJ Hill, who's a seventh round pick. And I'm not saying these guys can't be good. We just talked about Philip Lindsay, who is pretty good as an undrafted rookie. So, you know, it's not like these guys can't be good, but like I said, it's a mile wide but an inch deep. Hunter Henry is good when he's healthy. He stayed healthy most of last season. He had a little stint of injury, but I think, you know, it was better last year. He didn't go out for the whole season, right? Austin Eckler is super talented. Love that guy. And my guy between Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly is Josh Kelly. Justin Jackson's already been hurt a little in camp. I think they've been talking up Josh Kelly out of UCLA all offseason. And I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes the number two running back in that system.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Jason. Love Austin Eckler. I think his upside is, and this is going to sound like a hot take, and it probably is, his upside is close to Christian McCaffrey. Like, between his rushing ability and his pass-catching prowess, like, I'm not saying he is Christian McCaffrey, but he's definitely could be Christian McCaffrey. Like, we don't know. Keenan Allen, we all know how I feel about Keenan Allen. I've been in love with Keenan Allen since he came in the league. I do believe he is one of the top five wide receivers in the AFC. Mike Williams was a guy last year who actually led the league in yards per catch, averaged just over 20 yards a catch. We would be talking about him more if two things would have happened. One, he would have scored more than two touchdowns. And B, if he wasn't already injured. So, as Jason was mentioning about how thin the wide receiver core is, it's thinner, knowing Mike Williams is already injured and possibly going to miss the start of the season. Hunter Henry is another one of my guys. I've been in love with Hunter Henry since he came in the league. He was stuck behind Antonio Gates, and even then he put up decent numbers. Now Gates is out the way. He's fully healthy. He's coming into the season healthy. I'm expecting big things from Hunter Henry. I think he is a clear top six tight end in this league. Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. My take on this quarterback situation is this. Tyrod Taylor is the unquestioned starter. He will be the unquestioned starter until this team is out of the playoff contention. As soon as they're out of playoff contention, Justin Herbert will take over. So if Tyrod Taylor leads this team to the playoffs, Tyrod Taylor will be the quarterback all season long. If there's any point where Tyrod Taylor is injured or they're eliminated from playoff contention, this team will move on to Justin Herbert to allow him to get experience. So for now, I would be rolling with Tyrod Taylor. For at least, you know, the first three quarters of the season, I think he's going to be their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think that's a good assessment there. I think he is going to get the start. Can he stay healthy? That'll be one thing. And I mean, this doesn't seem like a playoff contender team. This seems like a really decent fantasy value team, although their defense has been stepping it up year after year as well. And so the Chargers aren't no slouch anymore. I mean, this whole division's actually fairly tough. Tough teams to beat.
Yep.
Not necessarily guys that'll get it done against you on offense, though. But there's still enough value here to go around. That brings us to the Oakland Raiders. I had to think about where the Raiders were from there for a second. I was like, are the Raiders also somewhere different?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. From Oakland. They're from
the Las Vegas Raiders. Las Vegas. Now. Las yes. Vegas. Yes. This is the year. Wow. I can't believe that's actually a real thing now. So who do they got at their receiver this year? And I'm not even sure they're 100% on this, but they got Henry Ruggs as the wide receiver one. They got Bryan Edwards as the second guy. Hunter Renfrow filling up in the slot position. They're backed up by Zay Jones, Rico Gafford. And then the tight end position, they got Darren Waller. They got Foster Moreau. They picked up Jason Witten. And then they've also got Derek Carrier. The quarterbacks, we've got Derek Carr, the man, the myth, the legend, the record holder, Nathan Peterman backing him up. And then we got Josh Jacobs, Jalen Richard, and Devontae Booker at running back. Guys, I can't stand the Raiders. I just can't. But like, I don't mind me some Josh Jacobs or whatnot, but what do you guys think about this team?
I think the guys I personally want to start the season with from this team are Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, and that's it. I've been pretty high on Darren Waller all throughout the offseason. I have him as tight end number five. Listen, you got two starting rookie wide receivers. Are they talented? Yes, they are. But that doesn't mean that they're going to come out the gates as world beaters and barn burners and whatnot. Derek Carr is going to rely on his tight end. He's going to rely on Darren Waller. Darren Waller is a very, very, very good tight end. So he's somebody I don't mind having on my teams. And I have Josh Jacobs as a top nine running back right now. I think they will have him involved a lot more in the passing game. Whether he's going to get 60 catches or not is to be seen. But I think given the lack of experience at the wide receiver position, Hunter Renfrow is in his second year. You got two rookies on the outside now that Tyrell Williams is done for the year. You got Zay Jones, who came over from Buffalo. It's not a lot to get super, super excited about out the gate. And so there's not a whole lot here I really want to have to deal with. Give me Waller. Give me Jacobs. You can keep the rest.
See, and I'm George knows this because I've said it on a bunch of podcasts with him. I fade Darren Waller a little bit. There wasn't anything to throw to last year either. At least now they have two talented rookies versus whatever they were throwing out last year. Hunter Renfrow is on the field at least to start the season. When Hunter Renfrow and just Hunter Renfrow was on the field, Darren Waller took a 20-yard hit every game last year. He also lost, I think, two receptions per game. And if he's not a guy who caught touchdowns last year either. So, you know, now that they have more options, he's going to take a little – to me, he takes a little bit of step back. And you know, that doesn't mean he's going down to, like, tight end 8, 9, or 10. There's not great tight end options. He goes to 6 or 7. I also want to mention Josh Jacobs. George said that he thinks he'll be more involved in the passing game. My problem with it is everything Oakland has done in this offseason has said he won't do more in the passing game. The first thing they went and did was re-signed their third down back in Jalen Richard. And I'm not saying Jalen Richard's better than Josh Jacobs, but they used Jalen Richard to catch passes last year, and they didn't do that with Josh Jacobs. They went and signed Devontae Booker, which is whatever, but just recently they also signed Dare Ogunbowale when Tampa released him. And all that guy does is catch passes on third down. He doesn't run between the tackles. He doesn't run outside the tackles. He's a third down pass catcher. He's also a decent blocker. But – So to me, that limits Josh Jacobs' upside just a little bit. He can still be a very good player in PPR. He's still going to get somewhere, I think, 25 to 30 receptions. But I don't see a big explosion just because everything that team has said through their actions this offseason is that we don't want Josh Jacobs to catch the ball because we've got all these other guys who can do it. I will bet you that Nathan Peterman starts a game for the Oakland Raiders this year. It is because such a Gruden move.
Because of play on the field or because of injury?
I don't know.
If it's because of play on the field, I'll take that bet. If it's because of injury, I can't predict injuries. I won't take that bet.
Well, I'm just saying he's going to start a game. Now, whether it's they're out of contention and why put Derek Carr out there in the 16th or 17th game and they just want to see what they have. But it's such a John Gruden move to take the worst quarterback in the history of quarterbacks and try and make something out of him.
He just wants to break the record. He's like, you can get 7 interceptions in a half, buddy. Let's get 7.
7. He'll start a game this year, and that's all I'm going to say on that. But, yeah, I like this team as far as, like, the future talent with and what they've done with their draft picks. It's just not going to be their year.
It's definitely not going to be their year.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a dumpster fire. I do like me some Hunter Renfrow. But that's, and I'm kind of with you. I don't really like Darren Waller as much. I think Foster Moreau will get more involved. I think they signed Jason Witten for a reason. It's not just to be nice.
Leadership. No, well, leadership.
Yeah, but they'll give him some touchdowns for that. You know, they'll at least give him some red zone targets. And I really think Josh Jacobs is going to be the focal point of this offense. So that's going to bring us to the last, but not very much least, the fantasy mecca, the glory land. I don't really know what else to call this place. The Kansas City Chiefs, where we have people like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Marcus Kemp, Byron Pringle. Do you guys notice that we got to the third tier receivers right there and we're still talking about people we know? We got Travis Kelce. We got Nick Kizer. We got Ricky Seals-Jones. We got Deion Yelder. Quarterback is Michael Jordan, backed up by I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes. I forgot we're talking about football. He's backed up by Chad Henne. And then they got the acquisition. Clyde Edwards-Helaire leading out the gate, backed up by Darrell Williams, followed by Darwin, the disappointment, Thompson, which I did check. That is what his mother calls him too. Darwin, the disappointment, Thompson.
I'm not letting this go. Did you just call Clyde Edwards-Helaire the acquisition?
The acquisition of the century right there, buddy.
That's a new nickname for him, Mike. I'm sorry. That's going to stick. I like that, the acquisition.
Anybody that Patrick Mahomes handpicks deserves a good nickname. I like it too.
Yes. So I don't even know where to start. There's so much goodness here that makes me just happy. I want all of this on my fantasy team. I just want yes, 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 and no.
Can we start, George? Can I start with a light note here?
Yeah.
It is absolutely a Chad Henne thing to be on the Kansas City Chiefs in 2018, not be on the Chiefs in 2019, and then be back with them in 2020.
That is a total Chad Henne move. Hey, listen, good for Chad Henne. Like, he's still in the NFL. I feel like the NFL is better with Chad Henne in it. Okay, let's just go there.
He got to Jacksonville and he like showed back up. You guys know what it's like when you show back up after quitting on a Friday, show back up on that Monday morning. Like, sorry, boss, but can I have my job back, please? And they're like, all right.
He went back to Kansas City and said, no, I will pay you this much a year to allow me to be on the team.
No, you know what it really is. He got to Kansas City and he was like, oh, this is football.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to be on a good team. Oh, Jason, where do we start? Tyreek Hill, like, do we really need to talk about him? I don't
know.
Mecole Hardman, he was drafted to be the Tyreek Hill replacement when Tyreek Hill had his little off the field incident, we'll call it that. Mecole Hardman, I really like coming into this year. Most of his catches were long bombs last year that he returned in for touchdowns. And I think he can do the same thing again this year. Like, there's so much to be happy about this team. Travis Kelce, number one tight end in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, the number one quarterback in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, top five wide receiver. I'm going to stop at Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All right, so I've been anti-Clyde Edwards-Helaire all year long. I personally think where he's being drafted, he's going to bust. I completely get the situation is fantastic. Like, you could not ask for a better situation for him, but I don't think he's going to return the value that he was where you have to draft him. He's not as good as Kareem Hunt. So I don't want to hear, you know, Kareem Hunt, you know, was a rookie that did so-and-so, led the league in rushing for Andy Reid. Yeah, okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is nowhere near the prospect that Kareem Hunt was. I think you're going to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire be okay. Like, he's not going to bust per se as in kill your team, but I don't think he's going to return the value of a top eight, top seven pick in fantasy drafts that you have to spend now to get him. And that's my issue with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, I'm reading the tea leaves. Darwin Thompson is not good. Darrell Williams is a decent running back who will be used quite a bit in this offense. I fully believe that. They're gonna give Clyde Edwards-Helaire every opportunity to succeed. I just don't know if I can trust the fact that he will return the value on where you have to draft him. And that's the only reason I've ever considered him to be a bust. Like, if Damian Williams was still there, Damian Williams would be the lead horseback. We wouldn't even be talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then you would be getting him at a decent value. And the same thing with Damian Williams. Like, they would cancel each other out as far as having to spend a top 3 or 4 round pick on these guys. But as soon as Damian Williams opted out for COVID, like, Edwards-Helaire automatically became a first round. And I think you're drafting him at his absolute highest point, his highest ceiling. And he's like drafting at the Sistine Chapel ceiling right now. And I just don't like it, because I don't think he's going to return that value.
Well, and you know what people seem to forget because of the landing spot is that he was probably the 5th running back on everybody's list before the draft. And you know, he rockets up because he goes to Kansas City. But listen to these defenses that Kansas City team has to play. And I'm not saying they're not going to beat every single one of them, or they can't beat every single one of them, but they're not good for running backs. So they play the Chargers twice. They play the Ravens. They play the Patriots, who are stout. They play the Bills. The Broncos defense is pretty good. Now Von Miller being out hurts that a little bit. They play the Buccaneers, who was number one against the run last year. Yeah, absolutely. That's because you can pass against them, so why wouldn't you? They play the Saints, right? That, you know, that's more than half their games. They're playing good defenses against the run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the 29th toughest schedule as a running back. So, again, situation's great, and hoping he can prove me wrong, but I'm with you on this, that you're drafting him well above his ceiling. And I know you do that with a lot of first round picks, because, you know, you're taking Zeke 3rd overall, and, you know, he only has a little room to go up, right? But, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is you're shooting for the moon with Edwards-Helaire at 6 or 7 or 8. And I think you're going to be slightly disappointed, and you're going to be better off taking Derrick Henry or Michael Thomas. You know what I mean? So I'm with you on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I also want as many pieces of this offense as I can get. So I'm not even that opposed to getting Sammy Watkins.
Nope. I'll take Sammy Watkins.
Especially as late as you're getting him, man. I'm getting him in like the 15th, 16th round. I mean, why not? Sammy Watkins is fast as hell.
Yeah. I mean, and he came on in the playoffs. I did want to mention, going back to CEH, is the one thing that he has going for him is they asked Patrick Mahomes which of the two running backs, and I think the other one was Swift, if I remember from the draft night. They asked him which of the two he wanted, and he said CEH. If Michael Jordan wants you, he's obviously going to figure out how to use you. So, you know, he's got that going for him. But, you know, again, like George said, ceiling is Sistine Chapel. I like that.
Yeah, you know, I actually kind of disagree with that, because I feel like it can – in fact, go higher, and I feel like it can go higher by about 3 or 4 spots, because if he comes out the gate swinging as hard as a lot of people are thinking that he's going to come out, you're going to be talking. I mean, we're going to be having him in the same conversation as, you know, the big three: Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, or not even Alvin Kamara. He's off of that list now. Saquon and C-Mac. So, I mean, he can get worse. I believe he can get a little bit more pricey, because having a 103, a 102 spot, something like that, is kind of where I have him landing in his future. If, like, once again, if everything pans out. The one thing is just coming out of the season with a rookie, that's a little bit scary to me. So we shall see. We shall see.
If we had any preseason games to actually sit down and watch him play to see how he's adjusted to the NFL game, like, I would feel a lot better. But, like, I'm just concerned. He's a small guy. He's only 5'7", 5'8". He's built like a bowling ball. He's 207 pounds. But, man, he's got such a brutal schedule. I looked it up. His average draft position is 107.
So you're asking to get a lot in return at the 107. Like you
Yeah,
can't,
no, I mean with it being speculation, it's just too much risk. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean honestly, if he was going a little bit later, let's say he was going in the range of Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake, like okay, I'm fine because you're not investing a top 7 pick in the guy, especially in somebody we've never seen take the field, who wasn't projected to be a top 4 or 5 pick in this draft. But all of a sudden, because where he landed, he's skyrocketing in value. And if he doesn't return that value, he's going to bust. Odds are he's going to bust. And I just, for that reason, I've been staying clear of him all year. I think he's one of these guys where later on in the year, there's going to be a window for you to buy him in a lot of leagues. And at that point, I'll be willing to do it because I'll be able to get him at a depreciated value. Because the owners that have him are going to be so frustrated because they spent so much capital on him and he's just not returning that value.
Yeah, nope, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like I said, I mean, to me, the value could go up slightly, but you're getting him pretty well at the maximum right there.
Yep. But I do like the nickname, the acquisition. That's going to stick.
The acquisition. I dig it too. We'll even take that as a note to end, boys. That is a wrap up for the whole entire NFL there. That means that tonight, guys, is football because this will be coming out Thursday morning. So we'll be watching with you guys, Houston and the Chiefs. You could probably just tweet us. We could just talk football the whole night at FFU. And then stay tuned to Sleeper Wires. We're going to be probably doing something kind of fun Friday night. We're going to be maybe tipping a few back and just having some fun with some fans, with some fellow hosts. So, guys, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at BFTGJason. And you can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGDrMill.
You can find me on Twitter at BFTGpod. You can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGEO.
And again, you can find me at DirtyJobs21. And again, you can find all of us at FF_University. And like I said, just keep up with us on there and let's talk some football and let's have a great season, guys. And let's we'll be bringing Jamie back on here very soon and be talking about how we're doing weeks 1 through 16 and get her a championship, guys. And in the meantime, go FFU.